Hello and God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm Herbert McLean, Herbie Mac. I'm the Encourager. Today we're going to deal with special revelations. Stay tuned. Got a good one for you. God bless you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for caring. Please do share this in your groups or your timeline. Come on.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hello, hello, and thank you for tuning in once again. I'm Herbert McLean, Herbie Mac. I'm the Encourager. Woo, we had a good time on yesterday. We dealt with general revelation. And today, we're going to deal with special revelation. This is a good one. You might want to share it. Get your notepad. Father God, thank you for another opportunity to share your word and to release faith into cyberspace now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we went over yesterday the revelation of God, revelation meaning the communication from God. God willfully, volitionally, he took the first step to reveal himself to us. We talked about a general revelation, how he has revealed himself to us through creation, how he revealed himself to us through our conscience. And all of that was dealing with general revelation. But today, we're going to deal with special revelation. Now, special revelation is limited to Jesus Christ and the Bible. Is different from creation. We see the sun, rain, moon, stars. We know that there's something or somebody out there, but we don't have a personal awareness. We don't have characteristic traits. Only thing we know is he has power. He's eternal. He's glorious. He's very smart. He's intelligent. He exists, but we don't know who he is. But special revelation reveals to us who he is, what he likes, what he don't like, his intended purpose for the earth, etc., etc. That's what we're going to get into today. So the first thing I want to say about special revelation is that Jesus Christ is the supreme and final revelation of God to mankind. He's the supreme. So even though we look at the stars, the moon, creation, and we see that that testifies to the existence of God, does God exist? Yes, creation testifies, but that's not the supreme revelation. In other words, God discloses himself in a way that is much higher than just looking at a tree and realize that it has a designer. Jesus is that supreme revelation. Not only is he the supreme revelation, but he's the final revelation. And if we look here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, it says, long ago at many times in many ways, particularly general revelation, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. We're living in the last days. He has spoken to us. He has revealed himself to us. In other words, he's communicating to us through his son, whom he appointed to be heir over all things, through whom he also created the world. So we see a lot packed in that verse, and we're not going to unpack it except the fact that we want to see that in the last, in the past, God spoke through the prophets. God also revealed himself through nature. But in these last days, God is now revealing and speaking to particularly his people through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ exegetes or explains the person of God. Remember, I hit that on in the intro. The personality of God is demonstrated in the person of Jesus Christ. So even though we can look at creation and we see that there is a God, that God is not personal to us until we come in contact or revelation of who Jesus is. Jesus explains to us the personhood of God. Now, you can see that in John chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." So Jesus Christ, he came, he says, look, the things that I do, the words that I speak, I see my Father do, or I hear my Father speak. I do nothing on my own accord. Jesus reveals to us or explains to us the person of God. Another thing, Jesus reveals the glory of God. We see in John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh," talking about the incarnation of Jesus when he came born of a virgin. We remember that story in the Synoptic Gospels when Jesus, the Bible says in John chapter 1, it says, "And the Word became flesh. He dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus also reveals the power and the wisdom of God. Jesus reveals the power and the wisdom of God. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, he says, "But to those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." So even though we look at creation in general revelation and we see that God is intelligent, we see that God exists, we see that God is a creator, but we are not acquainted with that wisdom or with that power. However, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we now become acquainted with the wisdom of God. God begins to share his innermost thoughts, his innermost desires, his will with us. Amen. So we see that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ also reveals the grace of God. We've seen in John chapter 1, verse 14, he was full of grace and truth. But let's look here in Titus, which is another book written by the Apostle Paul to Titus, who was one of his sons in the faith. He writes to Titus in chapter 2, verse 11. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared." The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Praise God. I'm so glad that Jesus appeared. When Jesus appeared, he was the grace of God embodied. Amen. He's the grace of God revealed. Jesus is the supreme and final revelation from God to man. Jesus explains to us the personhood, the personalities of God. Jesus reveals to us the glory of God. We beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus reveals to us that the power of God and the wisdom of God demonstrated in his life and in his actions. If we see the life of Jesus, if we go back and chronicle the life of Jesus, and stay forward to Herbie Mac, because I'm going to be trucking along in some great theology. Our next lesson is going to be on the Godhead, and then we're going to enter into Christology, and we're going to talk about more of the personhood of Jesus Christ. But before we get to Christology, I do want to talk about the workings of the Godhead, and so that's going to be our next session. So I don't want to get too deep into Jesus Christ being the power of God and the wisdom of God and how he demonstrated that in his life, because we're going to deal with that in Christology. But let me just make a note here that when we've seen Jesus do miracles and we've seen Jesus escape from those who was trying to apprehend him, we see Jesus feeding 5,000, raising the dead, that is the power of God. And then we see Jesus, how he responds and communicates to people the things that he says, speaking in parables and all of those other things, demonstrates the wisdom of God. And so Jesus reveals to us the power of God and the wisdom of God. Stay tuned for more of our Christology, and we're going to go more into the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ reveals the grace of God. Titus, Paul wrote to Titus, and he says, I'm so glad that the grace of God appeared. Not only did he appeared for a purpose, and that purpose is salvation, bringing salvation to people. Amen. And so next we see that Jesus Christ reveals the love of God. Now that's a big deal, because the Bible says God is love, but God demonstrated his love towards us through the life, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, giving us opportunity or access into those things above, salvation particularly. So Jesus reveals the love of God, and we see this in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died. That's love. In other words, while we were far away, Christ made a provision so that we can come close to the Father. He demonstrated that through his crucifixion. He demonstrated that through his perfect obedience to the law of God, his obedience even unto death, so that we can have an opportunity to be close to God. So the revelation of God revealed through Jesus Christ is love. We see that demonstrated in the life of Christ. Also, let's look at the fact that the Bible, this is a special revelation now, the Bible assumes and does not seek to prove the existence of God. Now, I labeled this talk, as we see here, I labeled this talk, does God really exist? Yes, God really exists. But when we read the Bible in particular does not try to prove the existence of God, because the Bible just automatically assumes the existence of God. And we see that in Genesis chapter 1, where we have the creation of the world. The creation of the world says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so it's already there. He's already there before the world was even created. And we need to understand that you cannot prove the existence of God by going to scripture. You automatically assume the existence of God. And the reason why is because in general revelation, do you remember, God has revealed himself to everybody, even to the conscience of man. Hallelujah. That's some good stuff. And then we also see that the Bible assumes and does not seek to prove the existence of God. If we look in Psalms chapter 14, verse 1, Psalms chapter 14, verse 1, it talks about the fool says that there is no God. You got to be a fool. And I even hit on that yesterday in reference to the atheist, how hard the atheist has to not believe something that is very so obvious, even in their conscience. It says in Psalms chapter 14, verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. Also, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it just assumes the existence of God and doesn't try to prove it. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Amen. Can I encourage you to go to our website, ApostleHerbieMack.com, for more information, for more biblical, theological teaching? You can go to my website. That's ApostleHerbieMack.com. Now to our final revelation is that the Bible is the inerrant revelation of God. We need to understand that. The Bible is the written revelation of God, and it's without error. Now, when I say without error, I'm not speaking in particular about those things which have been translated. But the original autographs of the scripture is inerrant. It doesn't have a mistake in it. If there is seemingly a contradiction, the contradiction lies within us and our interpreting the scripture, but there is no contradiction. The Bible is the inerrant revelation, communication from God given to mankind. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God. That word there is inspired by God. In other words, it comes out of God. It says, all scriptures is breathed out by God and profitable. In other words, you'll do well. The scripture is going to add something to your life. It's not going to take away anything. It's going to add something. The revelation of God will add something in your life instead of taking it away. And we see that it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. In other words, the scripture teaches us how God wants us to live in relation to the earth, in relation to living with other people, in relation to the animals, everything that he created and gave men the dominion over. The scriptures gives us perfect revelation from God. It gives us his intentions. It gives us his will. It exposes to us the personality of God, the inner workings of God. You can find that as you search the scriptures. Amen. So we see here that Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation. He is that special revelation. Jesus Christ, as he is revealed in the Bible, is so important to relate those two, because you have angels, supernatural angels will come and appear and preach a whole different gospel. We are not to listen to those angels. Or you may have men and women who appear and they begin to want to give you some special revelation that drops straight out of thin air. If it's not backed in the scripture, it is very much so suspect to be critical of that piece of information. Not saying that it won't be helpful, not saying that it's not good, but when it comes to revealing who God is, we need to understand that that revelation is displayed in the life of Jesus Christ, and it's also revealed in the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray that there was something said today that has really touched your heart. I pray that it has revealed some things to you about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, about how he is the special revelation from God. He's the supreme. He is the final authority. He is the supreme authority. He is the explanation of the person of who God is. He is the glory of God. Jesus reveals the glory of God. Jesus reveals the power and the wisdom of God. Jesus reveals the grace of God. Jesus reveals the love of God. Jesus reveals to us the personhood, the desire, and the will of God for us. That's why he is so important, Jesus Christ. The Bible assumes and does not seek to prove that God exists. God exists, and he makes sure you know that he exists. That's God's responsibility. And God is not a man that he shall lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. If he said it, he meant it. And if he revealed himself, it's true. So believe him. Believe in him. Also, we also went over that the Bible is inerrant. In other words, it's infallible. It doesn't make a mistake because it reveals to us the perfect will of God. Now, here's my question for you. Do you know Jesus? Have you been delivered? Have you been baptized? Amen. If you don't know Jesus, you can get to know him today. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. God raised him up on the third day. He ascended on high, perfect sacrifice, acceptable, seated now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He has sent to us the Holy Spirit. And if you believe in your heart and you confess Jesus as your Lord, the Holy Spirit will come. He will abide in you right now and forevermore. So I want to encourage you to do so. Remember that we do have prayer every Friday at 12. You can join our group, Women Evolution, for more. Over 90,000 people in that group. I hope to see you there. Remember to go to our website for more information about everything that we just talked about at ApostleHerbieMack.com. Also, our podcast is featured everywhere. Apple, Spotify, Google, and every other platform where you get your podcast from. Check us out right there at Herbie Mack all over. Also, remember to pray for those who have their prayer requests, for all of you who are part of that. Continue to pray for all those prayer requests that has been submitted to us. Well, until next time, may this Jesus who I just preached about keep you in perfect peace. God bless you. I'll see you next time.